Om Gyan Tamarandasya Gyanan Janashtalakaya Chakshramanatamiyana Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupika Dharmayam Dadati Swahadandikam Vanchakalpacharubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasti Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we are beginning the discussion of Brihad Bhagavatamrita Part 2, Chapter 5, in which Gopakumar goes to Dwarka. Yesterday we were discussing how Gopakumar, at the end, he was in Ayodhya with Lord Ramachandra. However, he didn't feel completely satisfied there. So eventually the Lord sent Gopakumar to Dwarka under the guidance of Jambava. Of course, there's some significance there in that Jambavan, even though he's often associated with Ayodhya and the pastimes of Lord Ram. Actually, Jambavan is one of the first created beings in the universe, and he's associated with all the different avatars. Even, of course, he fought with Lord Krishna over the Shamantaka jaw. But right from the beginning of creation, Jambavan has been there. And he's associated with all the avatars, and he knows the glories of each of them, and he knows the glories of the abodes of all of them. So like this, Jambavan was a very suitable character to take Gopakumar from Ayodhya to Dwarka, and that was something quite natural for him. So Gopakumar arrived in Dwarka and saw some of the Yadus there playing with their children. They were even more attractive than the inhabitants of Ayodhya. In fact, they were so attractive that Gopakumar forgot to offer obeisances to them. But they immediately recognized that this is a cowherd boy from Govardhan Hill. So they approached him, embraced him, and then took him into the palace to see the Lord. Now, they are inhabitants of Dwarka, of course, and generally we would understand that they have not been to Vrindavan. Uddhava is one of the very few residents of Dwarka who has visited Vrindavan. Of course, Mother Rohini has also. But otherwise, the inhabitants of Dwarka, they are not so familiar with Vrindavan Dham and the inhabitants there. But the thing is, of course, that they have heard about this most glorious spiritual abode. How have they heard? Well, we were discussing at the end of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita how Narada Muni went to Dwarka and spoke with Uddhava and the other leading members of the community there, and found out that Krishna was completely overwhelmed in separation from Vrindavan and from the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In fact, it was a very, very big thing, somehow or other, to try to pacify Krishna, and Narada Muni even made that arrangement with Lord Brahma to create new Vrindavan. So, therefore, we can understand that the inhabitants of Dwarka, even though generally the great majority have not been to Vrindavan, but they've heard of Vrindavan, and they're definitely quite well aware that there is such a glorious abode, and all the inhabitants there are the most wonderful devotees. So as soon as they saw Gopakumar, they recognized that he seems like one of those people, one of those Brijvasis. So they approached him, embraced him, and took him into the palace to meet Lord Dwarkadish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, presiding there in Dwarka. So they went into the Sudharma Assembly Hall, and there, in the distance, Gopakumar saw Lord Krishna sitting on a very amazing throne of gold and jewels, and looking sweeter and more opulent than the Lord of Vaikuntha, or even than Lord Ram, the Lord of Ayodhya. Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives very beautiful description that the Supreme Personality of Godhead sitting there looked so beautiful. It was as if he was being worshipped by adolescence mixed with the charm of childhood. Of course, in childhood, people look very innocent and very sweet, and there's not even a hint of any of the worldly mindedness or the sophistication and so on, which is there as one becomes older. So, Lord Krishna sitting on the throne as the ever-fresh youth, he looked just like that, as if he was being worshipped by the beauty of adolescence, but mixed with that innocent, sweet charm of childhood. He was surrounded by his main Dwarka associates, like Vasudev, his father, Lord Balaram, Satyaki, his military commander, and Uddhava also. And Gopakumar noticed that Narada Muni was there as well. He has been meeting Narada Muni in so many places. And here he was again, this time in Dwarka. He was joking, singing, playing his veena, and entertaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead in these ways, while Uddhava was massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. As Uddhava was massaging the Lord's lotus feet, he was speaking very confidentially into the ear of the Lord. What was he talking about? He was explaining all secret things about Sri Vrindavan Dham. However, he was explaining things in such ways that if the other inhabitants of Dwarka had come close enough to hear what he was saying, they wouldn't have understood what he was talking about. He was so expert in hiding the essence of what he was saying. But Lord Krishna, of course, he could understand very clearly. And he was relishing hearing about Uddhava's experiences in Vrindavan. This is the special nature of the Supreme Lord's relationship with Uddhava. Uddhava, of course, is his main advisor, something like his prime minister. He is extremely intelligent and always able to analyze situations very nicely and give perfect advice under any circumstances. So that's very good. But actually, the main qualification that Uddhava has, and the main thing about Uddhava which attracts the Supreme Personality of Godhead to him, is the fact that Uddhava has spent time in Vrindavan, and he understands the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and he appreciates them very, very deeply. So whenever Krishna and Uddhava come together in Dwaraka, then naturally the conversation always gravitates to Vrindavan and the descriptions of the glories of the devotees there and of that place. So Gopakumar saw the Supreme Lord sitting like this, and he became completely overcome with love and fainted on the ground. But the Lord told Uddhava that you go and pick him up and bring him here. Uddhava looked around and saw there is this cowherd boy just lying prostrate on the ground. And he became extremely happy because he could recognize that this must be a Brijvasi. This must be an inhabitant of Vrindavan. It's going to be very wonderful having his association. So Uddhava quickly picked up Gopakumar, brought him over to the lotus feet of the Lord, and forcibly placed Gopakumar's head right on the feet of the Lord. The Lord, in a very compassionate and very benevolent mood, leant forward and stroked Gopakumar's head very sweetly and very gently. But then he saw tucked in Gopakumar's dhoti was Gopakumar's flute. The Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately became completely captivated upon seeing the flute. He took the flute and held it in his hands, looking at it very carefully, remaining silent, but crying to himself very quietly. Then Gopakumar came back to consciousness, and the Lord asked him, "Are you well? Is your health good? I hope there is no influence of inauspicious. I hope there is no influence of inauspiciousness where you came from." Of course, he knows that that is Vrindavan Dham, and there's no question of things being inauspicious there. However, the Lord is feeling that it is inauspicious for him to not be there. So as soon as he asked Gopakumar these questions, the Lord began crying again, and Uddhava had to try to pacify him. Then Uddhava made a sign with his eyebrows to the other devotees there, that let us allow the Lord to have some time to himself, and let him also meet this inhabitant of Vrindavan. Surely they have some very wonderful things to discuss. So the Lord then went in to the interior of the palace, and Gopakumar became completely overwhelmed with ecstasy, thinking that finally, I have actually achieved the goal of my life at last. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. But then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he turned to go inside the palace, took Gopakumar's folded hands in his right hand, and deeply, but very secretly, thinking about Vrindavan, went inside and sat on his throne there. As this was happening, Gopakumar saw Lord Dwarkadish as Madan Gopal. Why was this? This was because the Supreme Lord was still holding Gopakumar's flute. So when Gopakumar saw the Lord like this, he fainted. But the Lord personally bent down and picked him up. A little later on, it was lunchtime. But the Lord was so immersed in remembering his Vrindavan pastimes and all the devotees there that he just felt completely uninterested in eating. Although his mothers made him do various types of midday duties. So the Lord got the command to sit down, and the Lord personally fed him with his own hand. Then Krishna sat in a circle with all his friends, with Lord Balaram in the center. And Krishna fed all of them, just as they had done, just as he had done when he was having his pastimes with them, doing cow herding in Sri Vrindavan Dham before. So Gopakumar, watching all these different pastimes and seeing the transitions between the Dwarka mood and sometimes the entrance of the Vrindavan mood, Gopakumar was moving between full consciousness and semi-consciousness. In other words, he was in a somewhat dazed condition, being quite overcome by the beauty and the transcendental mood there. So then Uddhava took Gopakumar by the hand and took Gopakumar back to his house. This was arranged actually by the Lord himself, because he could understand that Gopakumar, being an inhabitant of Vrindavan, would not really feel comfortable in the opulence of the palace. But if he was able to associate with Uddhava, who was so closely connected with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, then Gopakumar would probably be most happy. So when they arrived at Uddhava's house, Gopakumar came back to full consciousness and started contemplating his extreme good fortune. Every day he would come and go from the palace with Uddhava, and every day he would ecstatically watch the Lord and engage in different types of services to the Lord. And all of the time he was absorbed in thinking about his good fortune. Gopakumar says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, "While residing there, I constantly received large doses of Lord Krishna's wonderful mercy. I experienced such an abundance of supreme ecstasy that no one, even a pure devotee of the Lord, could possibly describe it adequately, either verbally or mentally, even in an entire lifetime of Brahma. The happiness found in liberation is said to be supreme. If that is multiplied millions of times, it is said to equal the happiness of Vaikuntha. If any greater happiness than that can be conceived of, it is the happiness in Ayodhya. But how can anyone even begin to describe the happiness born in Dwarka?" So everything was going very wonderfully there in Dwarka. Gopakumar was feeling generally completely satisfied, as if he'd achieved the goal of his life. However, occasionally things would happen which made Gopakumar aware that maybe this is not exactly the right place for me. Even though it's very nice, maybe there is another place where I fit in more naturally. The first thing that happened was that after some days or some weeks of coming to the palace every day with Uddhava and engaging in different types of services to the Lord there, one day Gopakumar was confronted quite strongly by a group of older citizens of Dwarka. They tried to convince him that you are here in this big city, royal city, everything is so beautiful and opulent, everything is so wonderful, But you're going around just like some forest dweller in your very simple cow-herding clothes. But don't you know that here in Dwarka, nobody does ordinary types of work like that? Everyone is engaged somehow in the royal pastimes of the Lord. And now you also, you're engaged in those pastimes. So, we should arrange for you to become properly attired so that you'll fit in nicely, fit in a natural type of way into the situation here in Dwarka. So, they tried to convince Gopakumar that he should exchange his cowherding dress for the more sophisticated and opulent dress of an inhabitant of Dwarka. And they assured him that they could easily arrange that he get any type of clothing that he'd like. Very nice clothing. And then he'd become like a natural resident of Dwarka. So this was the first thing which happened, which made Gopakumar feel dissatisfied. Even though those devotees pressed him to change his clothes, but Gopakumar didn't want to do that. So he didn't do that. He just remained as a cowherd boy. And then, after a little while, another thing happened. That was that the Supreme Personality of Godhead left Dwarka and went somewhere else. So when the Lord went away, leaving Dwarka and leaving all the inhabitants of Dwarka alone and leaving Gopakumar, then Gopakumar also felt very distressed. He felt very distressed. Then from time to time he would see the Lord in a four-armed form, unlike the form that the Lord appeared in Vrindavan. And this reminded him of Vaikuntha, and it also made him feel uncomfortable there. So like this, gradually, Gopakumar was beginning to feel more and more separation from Vrindavan and less satisfaction being there in Dwarka. However, he very carefully concealed this from the eyes of all the devotees and even from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, one day, Uddhava was at home with Gopakumar when who should come to visit but Narada Muni. As soon as Gopakumar saw Narada Muni, he expressed surprise that I see you everywhere. How is it possible that you were in Vaikuntha, then you were in Brahmaloka, you were everywhere. How is this happening? So Narada explained that actually we devotees, we associate with the Lord often in many different forms. And in order to do that, sometimes we expand ourselves. So this is what I've done. And later on, how this all works will be explained to you more clearly. So then Narada Muni asked Gopakumar, then what are you doing here? I see you everywhere. Not only do I see you everywhere, but wherever I see you, you're always completely dissatisfied. Even in the most wonderful places. Like here in Dwarka. I'm meeting you again, but you don't seem happy. Although he didn't say it, within his heart, Narada Muni was a little concerned that maybe Gopakumar is playing a trick on me. Some sort of game. So then a discussion began between Narada and Uddhava. Mainly Narada is speaking, in which actually the idea is to help Gopikama to understand that there is another place beyond Dwaraka which he should go to. And not only should he go to it, but he should develop the desire to go to it. He should develop an understanding of how to go to it and what it is. And he should take up the process for going to that place. So, first of all, Narada started speaking to Uddhava about Gopikama. He told him how Gopikama was a cowherd boy from Govardhan Hill. And he's been searching and searching, going so many places, trying to find something which even Narada himself and Uddhava could not attain. And because he was not able to find that, his heart was filled with grief. In this way, Narada Muni is pointing out the exalted position of Gopikama. Because after all, Uddhava and Narada Muni, they're quite happy to be in Dwaraka. In fact, Narada Muni was quite happy to be in Vaikuntha, actually. So, they are satisfied in these places. But Gopikama, his taste, his consciousness, his natural environment is Vrindavan, which is a higher abode. And until he reaches that place, Gopikama cannot become satisfied. So Narada told Uddhava that you're always anxious for the mercy of the people there in Vrindavan. So why don't you enlighten her, even for a moment? Narada told Uddhava, that abode is very far away, and the happiness experienced there is also inaccessible to us. The means of achieving that abode is so rarely obtained that we can only pray for it. So, Narada, of course he's being very, very humble, but he's saying that that abode, Vrindavan, is so exalted, it's so elevated, that people like us, himself and the great Uddhava, that what to speak of having difficulty approaching it, we can only pray to get some means by which we might be able to achieve. So Uddhava responded saying, yes, it is a fact that Gopikama is greater than either of us. And Narada asked Uddhava to instruct Gopikama. However, Uddhava protested that I am a Kshatriya and you're a Brahmin. How can I speak before you? You're the Adi Guru, the original Guru of the whole process of devotional service. Narada Muni laughed and mildly chided Uddhava, saying that even here in Vaikuntha you think of yourself as a Kshatriya? After all, these designations only apply within the material world, and we are a long way from the material world here. This is the spiritual world, and we are completely beyond all those considerations. But Uddhava said, no, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes himself to be a Kshatriya here in Dwaraka. So when Narada Muni heard that, he became so overwhelmed in ecstasy that he just laughed and jumped and cried out, glorifying the sweetness of the pastimes of the Lord, which he performs in Dwaraka, Vaikuntha, and even in the material world for his devotees. In this way, Narada starts making a very important point. We may recall how when Gopikama was going to go to Vaikuntha, then the glories of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha were explained to him by some of the Vaikuntha Vasis. So they had made the point that the very advanced devotees are so fully engaged in devotional service that it doesn't really matter where they are. They can render service in the material world, and it's no less than when they're rendering service in Vaikuntha. However, the Vaikunthavasis said that actually the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they prefer to be in Vaikuntha rather than in the material world. Because after all, Vaikunthanath, the supreme lord of Vaikuntha, he is always present there in that abode. But he may not always be present within the material world. In this way, the inhabitants of Vrindavan showed that actually they are attached to Sarupya Mukti, or rather, Salokya Mukti, that particular form of liberation in which one is attached to living on the same planet as the Lord, or being in the association of the Lord constantly. So, Narada Muni is going to, in different ways, point out the fact that actually there is a higher consciousness than that. That the Supreme Lord performs his pastimes anywhere and everywhere, even in the material world. And wherever he is, or wherever the devotees are fully engaged in devotional service and feeling the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead there, then that is fine. It doesn't matter if they're in the material world, in the hellish planets, or in the heavenly planets, or in Vaikuntha, it doesn't matter. As long as they can be fully engaged in devotional service. So Narada was laughing and so joyful when he heard Uddhava say that the Lord is also taking the position of a Kshatriya here in Dwaraka, because in this way the Lord is revealing that there is no real difference between the Dwaraka in the spiritual world and the Dwaraka on earth. When he goes to Dwaraka on earth, then it is the same. It's always the same. His pastimes are the same. And he's always present there. And he's always present in the minds of the devotees who are remembering him constantly. So the point is to be fully Krishna conscious and not to get into some anxiety about being in this place or that. So Narada Muni glorified the love that Gopa Kumar had for the Supreme Lord, saying that he has transcended considerations like location. Yes, he has been in Vaikuntha, he hasn't been happy. Why? Because he's felt separation from his Lord there. Narada makes the point that it is the love only which is the consideration. That is the goal for the Lord and for the devotees, simply to exchange love through the medium of devotional service. Narada congratulated Gopa Kumar for his humility. Tomorrow we will hear more about humility. It is a very important aspect of devotional service. So Narada congratulates Gopa Kumar for his wonderful humility, which he says is a great asset for his advancement in devotional service. He says that it is perfectly appropriate for the prospering of pure, loving devotion. Then Narada glorified the Lord's assuming the position of an apparently ordinary friend for his devotee, all on the basis of love. In Vaikuntha, the Lord is displaying his own position very vividly and very clearly, and the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are very impressed and very attached to him, actually, on that basis. But on a higher level, the devotees are attached to the Lord in a mood of love, in terms of their intimate personal relationships with Him. And this love is so strong that it can turn the great Supreme Personality of Godhead into an ordinary good friend. So this is going to be the next dimension that Gopa Kumar is going to go into in his quest for his natural situation. And Narada particularly, and Uddhava also now, they're going to take Gopa Kumar step by step into the understanding about this. So Narada quotes some verses in which the glory or the beauty and sweetness and supremacy of the Lord's sweet personal pastimes, as in Vrindavan, is established clearly as being better than the bliss which is there when one relates to the Lord as one's very respectable superior. The verses he quotes are very interesting in that they're making the point in a reverse way. For example, there's one verse spoken by Vasudeva from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 85, verse 19, in which he is expressing regret that he has considered Krishna to be his son, whereas actually now he's understanding he's the Supreme Lord, so he feels now everything is better. And now he'll relate with Krishna as the Supreme Lord. This is better than just relating with him as his son. So Vasudev says to Krishna, "Therefore, O friend of the distressed, I now approach your lotus feet for shelter, the same lotus feet that dispel all fear of worldly existence for those who have surrendered to them. Enough, enough with hankering for sense enjoyment, which makes me identify with this mortal body and think of you, the Supreme, as my child." So, of course, we're familiar with another situation in which a devotee who had normally been thinking of Krishna in an intimate way suddenly came to the understanding that Krishna is actually the great Supreme Lord, and then regretted the having such an intimate relationship beforehand. That is there, of course, in Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, when Lord Krishna reveals to Arjuna his universal form. So when the Lord does that, Arjuna becomes very distressed. He's offering obeisances again and again and again, up and down, up and down, up and down. And he appeals to the Lord, "Please forgive me that I used to refer to you as Hey Sakha, oh my friend, Hey Yadava, oh member of the Yadu dynasty," in all sorts of informal ways like this. "I feel very bad about it now. And now I can appreciate that you are really the Supreme Lord. So now I understand you better." So when these types of things happen, also, as with Mother Yashoda when she looked in Krishna's mouth to see if he'd been eating her, then those devotees feel some regret for having related with Krishna informally. But through doing this, actually what they show us is the glory and incomparable nature of those loving, intimate relationships, as opposed to the very formal relationships. So then Narada, becoming absorbed in thinking of these loving exchanges and how important this loving nature of the Lord is, Narada became completely overwhelmed with ecstasy and fell silent. But then he noticed that Gopa Kumar wanted to hear more. He was feeling distressed. He wanted more instruction. So Narada told him that far away from here is the most exalted place, Goloka. It includes the city of Mathura, which cannot bear to be separated from it. And it is only obtainable by the same pure, unalloyed love for Krishna, as is demonstrated by the Brijvasis, which has nothing to do with conceptions of his opulence or power, or the sentiments of awe and reverence. Narada told him, it is only achieved by thinking of the Lord as one's beloved friend, even though the Lord is beyond all the worlds. That love for him is also beyond all the worlds. It seems to imitate ordinary love. And it seems to combine three things: great sweetness, as in the case of the love of the gopis; amazing opulence, as, for example, when the Lord killed demons like Putana; but then simultaneously, worldly simplicity, such as when Krishna and Balaram would take love lunch with the inhabitants, with the cowherd boys in the forest while they were herding the cows during the day. So Narada explained that such love is not possible in Vaikuntha, or even Ayodhya, or even Dwarka. Dwarka and Ayodhya are similar to Vaikuntha in that they are very opulent. But Goloka is completely different. Therefore the Lord has put Goloka long way away from all these other places. We may recall that just now Gopakumar has walked from Ayodhya to Dwarka, so it cannot be that far. They cannot be that far away. But Narada explains that Goloka, in order to avoid any possible influences from other places, the Lord has put it long, long way away. Narada explained that there in Goloka, Lord Krishna displays his godhood most completely. Therefore he is often called Hari there, he who can steal the hearts of all by his beauty and charm. Then Narada started to explain how Gokula on earth is non-different from Goloka. His tongue was itching to talk about this, and Narada first of all chastises his tongue, but then tells it, all right, you can just continue talking. So Narada made the point that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to display his supreme pastimes, then he descends to earth. Sometimes the earthly Gokula displays perfections not found in Goloka. Jiva Goswami talks about that. How in Gokula there are sometimes real demons, and therefore the devotees have to really take shelter of Krishna, and he has to really save them. Whereas in Goloka there are only rumors of demons. Here in Gokula, many of the gopis have real husbands, like Srimati Radharani in Gokula is married to Abhimanyu. So when Radha and Krishna are trying to meet, there are real obstacles, because in Goloka there are no real husbands, there are only rumors of husbands. So like this, there are some special aspects to Gokula Vrindavan which makes it different from, and in certain fine ways, better than Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, from our points of view, the most important difference is that Gokula Vrindavan on this planet can be approached even by imperfect devotees, whereas Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world can only be approached by perfect devotees. So this aspect of mercy for the conditioned souls and helping the devotees, helping people to come up to the proper platform. That is here in the Lord's Gokula pastimes, but not really there in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, Narada says that sometimes the earthly Gokula displays perfections not found in Goloka. He explained that when Lord Krishna appears at the end of the Dwaraka Yuga, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, in the 28th cycle of the Yugas, in the life of the seventh Manu in the day of Brahma, then all the other forms of the Lord become inspired to descend with him. So they all enter into him, and they leave their posts in Vaikuntha. Even, Narada says, sometimes Lord Narayan just abandons Mahalakshmi, not even inviting her to come. So in this way, there's so much mercy there in the pastimes of the Lord within the material world, not displayed anywhere else. And because all those other different forms of the Lord are present within the form of Krishna when he descends to Gokula Vrindavan, so different people who have different types of relationships with the Lord or different types of understandings of the Lord, different people, they see the Lord differently and address him differently when he descends to this earth. For example, some people consider him Vaikunthapati, the Lord of Vaikuntha. Some people think of him as Sahasrishya Shapurusha. Others think of him as Keshava of Mathura, or Narayan, the friend of Nara, or even Shiradakshai Vishnu. Therefore, in different shastras, we find different statements describing Lord Krishna in his appearance 5,000 years ago by different people. None of them are really wrong. They're all correct in the sense that all those different forms of the Lord were present within the one form of Lord Krishna. But of course, if those devotees are trying to make the point that the particular perception of the Lord that they have, that is either the essential nature of Krishna or the supreme nature of Krishna, we followers of Lord Chaitanya understand that this is not exactly so. Rather, Krishna, as he is in Vrindavan, this is the supreme form of the Lord, and his having his pastimes in Vrindavan is